The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, the most anticipated festival in the region, will once again excite audiences with nearly 650 performances September 9th through the 20th. From comedy, dance, and theater to jaw-dropping spectacles across 39 venues all around Rochester. Don't miss amazing performances in the Spiegel Tent, including the world premiere of Cirque du Fringe Claws Out, Shot Sphere, Kids Fringe, and more. And direct from Italy, Sphere, a mind-blowing outdoor spectacle, free at Parcel 5, September 19th and 20th. RochesterFringe.com.
Let's take a minute to talk about Joe Bean Coffee, my go-to for great beans here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador, and I regularly brew their coffee at home. A recent favorite of mine is the natural process Colombian Finca Buena Vista coffee from Edwin Zambrano. This coffee won a 2024 Good Food Award, and I can't help but agree with that assessment. My brews have been full with fruity flavors of pineapple, strawberry, and orange, and each cup has brightened my morning. Next time you need some beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester, or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. For our loyal listeners, save 15% off your next order at joebeanroasters.com with code LUNCHADOR. You can also subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule, and never be without great coffee again. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care. That music means it's time for another episode of Just Can't Not. This is part of our series of preview podcasts for the ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, happening from September 9th to 20th in scenic downtown Rochester, New York. Go to rochesterfringe.com to check out all of the events, get the app so you can find things on the fly, and I'm here with a guest. Guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Martha Skirmerhorn.
Yeah, and what event are you doing?
I am presenting, it's a world premiere video called The Aquatic Enigma. It's a documentary.
Love it.
About the sea monster that lives in around Ocoit Bay.
I mean, obviously, and that is on Sunday, September 14th at 1:30 p.m. You can get your ticket at rochesterfringe.com. It's a $12 ticket held at the School of the Arts, which I love that it's such a great venue for Fringe, and I love that they're sort of a core part of what Fringe is. Because it's such an important school for Rochester, and showing, you know, so many different things is just an absolute blast to have it there.
Yes, and the people there who are organizing this, they are the nicest people. I cannot tell you. They have been so nice to me because I have a lot of tech going on with this thing because it's a huge file and the movie and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And they are just so nice to me every time I'm like emailing them. Help, I don't know how to do this. I'm an old boomer, you know, I have to tell everybody, I'm a boomer, help me. I'm asking kids all the time to help me with my phone.
Yeah, you know? But you know what? I think that's the other thing is the fact that, one, trying is the thing that keeps you engaged with what's changing, right? Like, I grew up without the internet, and I've, you know, I was a... You know, I got
not that old.
I got internet when I went to college. So we had dial up when I was in high school. Oh. And then I got fast internet when I went to college. Like, we didn't have cell phones when I was a kid. And then I lived through that transition.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, it's a different familiarity. But like, losing touch with what's going on now often feels really bad. It can feel scary. And having the ability to just say, hey, I want to learn.
Yes.
Can you help?
Yes.
And it means a lot.
And that is one of the greatest things that has happened to me on this particular... I've made videos before, but this particular video, I took a class with a young man, Noah Thulin. This is a big shout out to him. He is a big part of this production. He was my teacher with Premiere Pro, which is, you know, video editing program.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the oldest person in the class. And so I am constantly going... No, Noah, where did that panel go? You know, I'm losing everything. I think I deleted my footage again, blah, blah, blah. Nicest guy. So we've become very friendly, and his girlfriend also has worked with me. She's a good tech person, but I started calling him PP911, Big Premiere Pro 911. And I am not kidding you. He says, text me anytime, call me anytime. So I would text him Noah, I can't find the effects panel anymore. He would text me back. Yeah. This kid is 26 years old, the nicest kid.
Yeah.
One time I'm freaking out. I think I've lost all my footage. I just text him and he calls me.
Yeah.
Right? Noah calls me. He's like, Martha,
what 26 year old calls anybody?
Anybody calls me and I'm like, Noah, where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm visiting my parents. I'm in Michigan. I'm like, you're so, I'm the nicest. These people, and these two particular people really, really helped on this project. I got to say that I have a thing about working on this together. I've been so lucky. Rochester is full of so many talented people, so many creative people, and I've been so lucky to be part of this little community.
Yeah.
To, you know, call on people to do stuff together. It's my village. And that has been the most fun about working on this piece. You
yeah.
know, it's you know, because it takes everybody to come in and help and be willing to go with the flow and that kind of thing. And the hardest thing, though, I just want to mention this one, the hardest thing about working on it, because, you know, we all have a million jobs,
mm-hmm.
is the scheduling.
Oh, it's the you know. Most challenging thing.
I mean,
thing.
You get that, because it's like,
for sure.
Okay, so I've got four people that need to be at this shoot. And, you know, it can only happen at 1 o'clock on the Saturday at this thing. And, you know, I've got to be prepared, because where's the light going to be? Where are we going? You know, we're going to do outside. We need sound. We need da, 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 da. And then somebody will call up and say, oh, my God, I just got called into work. And yeah. so you have to switch. And so that's why it's taken 3 years.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, considering, like, a lot of people take a lot longer than that for, like, a project that is, like, a full length.
Well,
you know, it's over an hour. Like, that is a lot.
It's not over an hour.
Hey, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. And
it's
that's
24 minutes.
Hey, and still, that's it's a lot good. Of work.
But there's videos, there's music videos that go with it.
So I love it.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's anyway, talk, let's sorry. Talk about the aquatic enigma of Irondequoit
yes.
Bay.
Yes.
I love the idea of doing something like this
so
because,
glad.
You know, growing up, you know, my dad loves telling stories, right? He loves, you know, that, you know, the heightened idea of telling
aww.
These kind of stories. And we also grew up going to the Adirondacks very often. And Lake Champlain,
oh.
the home of the notorious Champ.
Exactly.
And, you know, when growing up going there, we went for 2 weeks every year and we always heard
oh
the stories
God.
Of Champ. And yeah. you would tell all those things.
Yeah.
Like, what a great way to, you know, engage kids with storytelling, to engage everybody with telling stories that aren't hurting people, that are just
yes.
are great, fun things to do as, mm-hmm. you know what? How cool.
How cool
a and, story and how cool of a concept.
And Rochester needs a sea monster. We
yeah,
do. I
100%.
Mean, really, come on. Yeah, so I'm so glad. That makes me so happy that you, Champ. And
yeah.
did you ever see Champ? Did you ever hear Champ?
My dad told me stories.
Okay.
He told the stories. And you know what? And you see it everywhere, right? And you see it, all the little businesses that pop up around
right.
it. And it was Champ's Trading Post. And you see the little statue out. And you go, we went to Champ Fest out at one of the
Champ
towns.
Fest?
I forget if exactly what it was
aww.
Called. But it was like, they have a whole thing around it. And one of the towns, I think it's Port... one of the port towns up,
okay.
North of Lake, you know, north of Port Henry. It's Port Henry,
okay.
just you know, up there.
I think that we might meet a Rondi Fest because
yeah.
you know the monster is Rondi because of Irondequoit Bay.
Of course,
you know that's. But a Rondi Fest might have to come into play with this, which
well,
I think is good.
And I love, especially now, like with there's so many amazing TV shows and the acceptance of. Sci-fi and comic book stuff
yes.
and you know the creative ways that horror is used nowadays in film and TV
mm-hmm.
it just seems like there's just the audiences are really excited about these kind of things now.
Yeah. And isn't it kind of interesting? I've found this fascinating about what, you know, why do we need these stories? But we
yeah.
do. We really dig into this. And I'm not a psychologist or anything, but I would love to talk to some folklorist that's telling us, why do we need these? You
yeah.
know, I did at the Fringe 2 years ago. I did a video of The Lady in White,
mm-hmm.
which is a dramatic, more dramatic thing, and that myth, that story, is told around any body of water
mm.
that you can find all over the United States. I mean, it's just a common trope, I guess you would say. But it's like, why do we have, but I'm glad that we have her.
Does it keep coming up in the same way?
Yeah.
Or similar ways anyways.
So I found that fascinating.
Yeah. And I also like, I love that like this isn't, it's not just, you know, you're coming up with characters and coming up with this whole, the mythology behind it.
Yes.
And I do have to say, like the fact that you got, you know, a doctor that has so many letters after the name.
Anton Ambrose.
Yes. PhD, MA, BFD, a leading expert in Neseteros rhombopteryx research.
I'm so impressed that you can pronounce that.
My wife is a crazy dinosaur nerd, and I hear so many dinosaur words all the time that sounds like, it sounds like a flying dinosaur, so it feels very similar.
I think it is. I think it means sea monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is, but I am so impressed that you say that again, because that's
rhombopteryx.
Nice.
It sounds right.
I'm not gonna even try because it sounds good.
But I love that. So when you're thinking about, when you're laying this out before you started filming,
yes,
when you were laying out what you wanted to accomplish,
yeah,
were you trying to do a tone that was fun, was serious, was it in the office, like semi both? How did you think about that process of making something like this?
I really have tried to dig into more of like a Dateline. It's sort of like a serious, we have a presenter who comes out and is telling you facts about this. And then we go into interviewing.
Okay.
We interview the doctor and the cryptozoologist and the cryptoarchaeologist who have a rivalry, and you know, there's,
as you do
in these cases. So and the characters, we had more characters emerge actually as we went along. I get in so much trouble from my kids who are really into film, and my ones, and I have to say that I come from a family of writers. Not that I'm particularly a writer, but my husband's a writer. He was a marketing communications guy. My older son is a reporter, and my younger son is a creative writer, and he actually wrote most of the script for this. So it's been quite interesting. But characters emerged, and my younger son and my older son get on me because I did not storyboard any of this. And so I hope it doesn't look like that, but they're always like, oh my God, Mom, you know, when are you going to storyboard? They don't live with me, but which is a good thing. But it's as I make things sometimes, and that's part of the reason it takes so long too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you'll have this idea like, oh my gosh, let's add this, you know, and I can, it's digital. It's, you know,
I think that's also part of that creative journey. And also like, you're not on a deadline, like noodling with it a little bit.
Absolutely.
Is also part of the romance of making something. Making a mini film, that's a creative, fun, romantic process.
It's a total joy.
And you don't want to lose that part of it and saying, well, we have to make it exactly this. We have to, and yes, there is great value in that.
if you're working in another thing, yes, definitely storyboarding.
Yeah.
But I get in so much trouble for that because it's like, my kids are like, they're so funny. But yeah, that's one of the things about The Fringe, though, I have to say, is that when I have an idea, because I've made several videos for The Fringe over the years, that it's good to have a deadline too, especially when you're, you know, a creative person that can noodle along like me and say, okay, I need to have this done by then because that'll be my ending point. And that's really helped me too.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah,
that's
so
a good thing.
Yeah, you brought up some of the technical challenges. Now, I kind of want to bring it back to like when you got to see some of the finished footage, what was one of the things that just like, and not to tip like parts of the documentary, but when you got to see the finished product, was there something that just brought you like this kind of spark of joy that you didn't expect that this like thing would bring that to you?
Yeah, I worked with some professional actors, but I also worked with some people who I just think are hilarious, who are just fun, and putting them in front of the camera. And I was so amazed at what people can bring to when you get them, and you get them comfortable, like you were saying, kind of with even with this podcast thing, get them comfortable and kind of get into a character. One of the people who's in my film is a very, very good friend of mine. And she is a marvelous mimic. She has a musical ear. She never took any music lessons. She can do accents and voices. And I used to say to her, you know, you're so funny. Ever think about going on stage? And she's like, no, never. And so she is one of the characters in my film. And she does a fabulous job. And that makes me so happy because I kind of highlighted to her a talent that maybe she's just assumed, well, everybody can do this or whatever. Yeah. Not everybody can get up in front of a camera and be as, you know, be as comfortable. Yeah. And she was very comfortable and she did her character fabulously.
I mean, what a delight to see a friend
get to
stretch and do something that they didn't think, but you knew.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What a great joy that you got the chance to do that.
It's so much fun. And that was, and I hope I made it fun for people being on the shoot because they were kind of driven. It'd be like, we have 2 hours. We got to get all this stuff, you know? But people are so much fun. And I have some original music that was written for this.
Oh, cool.
So that was really a lot of fun to say. And I have a friend who actually lives in Mexico. He's Mexican. And I said, can you write a 1970s folk song about this sea monster? I'll send you the lyrics. And he was like, yeah. Mountain dulcimer. I'm going to use my mountain dulcimer. And he said,
of course,
how long? Obviously. And he said, how long do you want it to be? I said, 2 minutes. 2 weeks later, I get this. And it was so much fun.
Well,
so,
and especially since there was that time where you heard these kind of things. I mean, if you're thinking about some of the storytelling songs of that time,
that's
the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald,
you've got it,
because that there was that moment where these big story songs that had these arcs
of
and they were long and they were just this weird folk and 60s, 70s tone that is hard to describe. Like if you're trying to describe it to a kid today,
right,
there is no analogy to what that was.
Yes.
Because it wasn't ironic.
No.
And it wasn't ultra serious, but it wasn't not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such this weird moment in time that kind of thing could exist earnestly.
Yes. That's
an 8-minute earnest song about the sinking of a ship in the Great Lakes. That's not something you'd think you'd make a song about. But damn if it wasn't a hit and people
remember
it forever.
Can't you can say all of those words as a monologue.
Yeah.
I used to have a friend to do that, you know? It's just
dramatic Shatner-esque reading of it. Yeah.
Exactly, which I love. I love. But yeah, a couple of people have some brand new music. One friend of mine, she wrote a song that's, I said, dig into the Bjork, dig into, I want a sea monster song about that.
Yeah.
And so we did a video also of her and it's really fantastic. She's so creative and so talented. And she was all about oh yeah, we'll do the video. Oh, no problem. I'll just go in the water in this dress. I'm like, can you get in the water? And she's like, oh yeah, she's so into it, you know? And then you're also working. So I'm working with two musicians in particular, too, that I've worked with before, that I want to call out. Dan Roach, who did my sound, and he wrote the Rondi theme, the rocking Rondi theme, and Richard Green, who's written some things for me, too. And both of these guys, they won't quit, right?
Yeah.
So Dan Roach, it's like, I'll have everything done. It'll be like, I just got to go back in there and I just got to fix this. Okay, do that. And they can't let it go until it's done. Richard, when I was doing this film a few years ago, he wrote the soundtrack for it. And it was done. I had it done. You can't make any more changes. He was like, no. I have to fix this one part. I had to recut it because he wouldn't let it go, but it was so much better.
Yeah.
This is the thing, you got to trust them too, to be like, no, Martha, I got to go back in there. Because then, you know, causes me more work. But, you know, when I'm ready to be like, oh, got to upload.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. So on this project, you know, when you're talking about your creative compatriots,
yeah,
when you're looking at this and, you know, about to do a show on Sunday, September 14th at 1:30 at the School of the Arts. When you're thinking about this as you're going to show this.
Yes.
Do you feel like this is alive? Do you think this is something you're expanding on? Do you think this is a completed project? How do you see it today, 3 years in?
I am hoping, well, first of all, I hope some people come to the show who are not my friends. And yeah. Somebody who would laugh that's not a friend of mine, because...
We are 100% feeling, you know, that about our show, the Lunch at Our Show, on September 13th at 3 o'clock at the downtown branch of the public library.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there. Cool, yeah.
So it's we're feeling the same way. Like, yes. We want not just our friends to be there, because doing something cool is cool.
Yes, doing something cool. And you want to see it be... And really, my secret wish is that this... whole sea monster thing will become an urban myth and people will maybe even partly believe it. So, yeah. And that, you know, that would be cool. Talk about Rondi Fest or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'd love to see it go, I think. I mean, it's just been such a fun journey doing it. I you know, who knows if there would be a Rondi part two. Maybe, I don't know. You know, the sequel. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah.
So going towards the close of our discussion,
yes.
I'm kind of wondering, so... You know, take it away from, you know, specifically this topic.
Yeah.
You mentioned you've done other things. Do you see this as something that's going to continue with you? Do you see yourself keeping creating? And is this something that is, you know, bringing you a certain kind of satisfaction that is, you know, needed?
I've already started working on the next projects. You're constantly... ideas are never my problem. Yeah. This is what I've always said. So what I meant, you know. So yes, the next films, videos are already in. They're not storyboarded. Sorry, Mark, but they're on a piece of paper, you know. And maybe I'll start storyboarding. Maybe, you know, maybe that will be a new thing for me to learn.
Hey. You can always teach an old filmmaker new tricks.
I'm trying. I'm really... Thank you, Noah. Oh, my God. PP911, help! Lumetri, color. Oh, my God.
Color correction. I know. Oh, my God.
Why can't I find that panel? It disappeared.
How can I not have enough hard drive space?
Oh, God. You're speaking about like... Oh, you're just... Oh,
I just felt the PTSD come
you
off
did.
You.
How do you know what I was doing today? Deleting everything from the... Oh, God. Oh, you make me laugh so hard.
Well, okay. if you want to see somebody who's cleared out their hard drive space and learn about the true story of Rondi, the aquatic enigma of Irondequoit Bay, make sure you go to the School of the Arts on September 14th at 1:30. Get your tickets on rochesterfringe.com. $12 tickets, a great opportunity to support a venue that is important to the city. And thank you so much for coming over.
Thanks a lot.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.